26th of May.
And so we find ourselves at the beginning of this half term, with the weather improving largely, the days lengthening out. It's a wonderful time of year, I find. However, in my memory, it's also slightly tinged with the fact that it's exam season. We've had SATs, GCSEs, A-levels and university finals all ongoing. And it still brings me out with a slight sweat across my forehead when I think about that, those hours spent in the library and all that it meant. What I want to share with you this morning is a story of what happened 14 years ago when I was sitting my A-levels. It was a warm spring, much like this. Things had been going quite well. I'd spent the last year visiting university after university, working out where I wanted to be and what my future was going to look like. It'd been lovely, and I'd been quite fortunate to get some quite smart offers. Now, this is the small matter of the exams to get through. Now, I was quite happily going through them. I had my timetable, I knew what I was doing. I had my new pens and my new pencil case, very important for any exam. And I was all set. That was until one morning when I got a phone call. Why are you not in your psychology exam? It turned out I hadn't quite read my timetable closely enough and got the times wrong. I won't tell you exactly what I said at that moment on the phone, but it required a dash over to the school in quite a panic to do what I could to rescue the situation. When, some months later, I got that brown envelope with my results, you'll be quite unsurprised to hear that I didn't do quite as well as I expected in my psychology exam. I didn't get that vaunted place in that future I dreamed of. It really is, in some ways, a first world problem. But for a moment then, it was like the bottom of my world had dropped out. I didn't know what I was going to do, where I was going to be. But actually, things got better. I went to a place that I didn't expect, and it was actually really quite good. I made new friends, I made new relationships. I'd got a much broader life of view and its activities than if I followed that path I'd decided on initially. Most of all, I got really quite serious about church. I did a lot of things and ended up on a path that led me to here where I am today. If I hadn't, if instead I'd done things as I'd wanted and as I expected them, then honestly, I don't think any of this would have happened. I'd have been too cosy and too comfortable in my career to make the move. Instead, I am where I am, hopefully following the will of God. It's been a combination of doors shutting along the way and others surprisingly opening that's got me here. Now, I tell you all this partly because it's a handy trick for establishing rapport with a new audience when you don't know them, but mostly because it's this theme of frustration and surprise opportunity which is key to our reading from Acts today. For we have St. Paul on what the textbooks used to call his second missionary journey. You may well have drawn them out in years gone past in Sunday school. If you don't know the route of the journey, it starts out in Jerusalem and it's sort of going anti-clockwise around the Eastern Mediterranean. As we join Paul today in the reading, he's just had a series of setbacks before the reading starts. Paul wanted to go and preach to all people in all places, but it was turning out to be far less possible than he hoped. He travelled through Phrygia, which is eastern Turkey, but he couldn't preach there. As verse 6 puts it, the Holy Spirit kept him from doing so. How that happened, we don't know. But it can't have been an easy thing to find, all those desires, all those things he wanted to do, being denied him. Instead, he keeps pressing along to the border of Bithynia, which is northern Turkey. But again, the Bible tells us he was stopped by the Spirit of Jesus. Now, quite what Luke means by that is unclear, and indeed should be an excursus for another time. But what is clear through this is that there is, yet again to Paul, another door closed. His plans, his desires are thwarted. Now, you must think how incredibly frustrating it must have been for Paul. He wanted to create churches. He wanted to see people changed for Jesus. And yet, for this period, he seemed hemmed in on two sides. He couldn't preach in Asia. He couldn't go on to Bithynia. So often in life, we often talk about looking for yeses with God, those things which confirm what we're doing. And sometimes, however, there are no's. There are blocks, there are obstacles. And actually, they're just as important. I think probably much less easy for us to cope with than the affirmations. So Paul, unsure what to do next, wanders on to Troas. And all of a sudden, something happens. He has this vision, which we heard this morning, the man of Macedonia begging him, come over to Macedonia and to help us. Now, in those days, Macedonia meant most of northern Greece, which is why that small Balkan country has just renamed itself North Macedonia after a long disagreement. What we're seeing is that God is calling Paul into Europe, into Greece. So this vision takes Paul to Philippi to find this man of Macedonia. Yet when he gets to Philippi, there are more surprises. Philippi was, as a city, overwhelmingly full of Gentiles, so there apparently wasn't a synagogue for Paul to go in and preach in, as was his norm. Instead, he arrives and nothing happens. He waits for some days, which must have seemed slightly anticlimactic when he got there. And then he decides, off chance really, on the Sabbath, to go out of the city to a place by the river where people pray. And when he did that, Paul didn't find a man of Macedonia waiting for him, as he was expecting. Instead, he has a group of women gathered there. Evidently, he decides just to give it a go and preach to them, telling them the good news of Jesus. We don't know what they thought as a group, but only one person's response is recorded, that of Lydia, a seller of purple cloth, an expensive luxury. She was probably a wealthy woman who'd made her world way in a world which was hostile and difficult. And yet it's this unexpected woman who has her heart open to Paul's word and responds. And she becomes the first European to have faith in Jesus. Her house becomes the birth of the Church of Philippi and the cradle of Christianity for the whole of Europe. This is not what Paul imagined at all. He wanted to be elsewhere speaking to other people, probably of another gender. Yet of all the places and people he could be with, he finds himself here on a different continent, and seeing people respond who he wasn't expecting. This is all part of the huge number of surprises that the book of Acts has thrown at us over the last few weeks. A couple of weeks ago, it was the story of Tabitha revived by Peter, the only woman in the New Testament who's referred to as a disciple. Last week, it was Peter, through the medium of food, realizing that the people of God are far bigger than just those who stand within the covenant of Moses and the Jewish people. Today, it's Paul being on a new continent with a new mission that he didn't seek, but is undeniably seeing the work of God in front of him. All these things over the last few weeks tell us that God ultimately is a God of surprises. More aptly, as Woody Allen once put it, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. We are people who like to be in control. We are people who like to know where we are going and why. It gives us certainty. It gives us purpose. It gives us security, a sense of order in our lives, that we know the things we want to do and how we should achieve them. That's a thing which is dripping into the churches as well. We're all called to have mission action plans, to work out how we're going to do more and more to reach the people around us, to fix the budget, to fix the roof, whatever needs doing. We need it planned, we need it mapped out, and then we do it. And generally, that's actually quite a good thing. We want to have vision, we want to have a purpose for something, we want to have meaning. You'll also, what this reading says this morning is that they can sometimes stop us being open to the work and will of God. We like to know what we're doing, and we abhor things that seem to threaten that. How many things do we worry about? Indeed, it can be said, how many times do we worry about people like Paul, who crossed Syria and Turkey by foot in the Mediterranean on a rickety boat to into Europe? How many of those threaten what we think our cozy existence is like? How many of us seek the promises of those who have simple solutions to our woes and to our worries? Solutions which actually are to exclude chitin barriers, to keep things the same, or at least seeming the same, and yet ultimately to create places which are sterile and poorer for it. Those kind of voices are tempting because of what they promise: stability, constancy, things being the same. But we know that they risk delivering things which are poorer. We want to know how things are going to work out. We want stability. And yet that's actually not how God works at all. We're coming up to the period between Ascension and Pentecost. And I think actually that is perhaps the only time in the church's history that's ever had a form of stability. Those days when Jesus has gone, the disciples gather, they pray each day. It's routine, it's steady. They know what they're doing. And then comes Pentecost, comes fire, comes spirit, and all that's blown apart. The church becomes unstable, growing in dramatic and unexpected ways. That's what our reading in Acts shows us this morning. It shows also in my life that unexpected things can work from God in the most unexpected and surprising way. I don't want to be trite, and I don't want to say that God works in all things that go wrong and that it'll be okay in the end. Because the truth is, we do live in a broken world, which means there is such a thing as evil, there is such a thing as pain, there is such a thing as sorrow. And I don't want to deny or cheapen that. Nor can we simply go, God's got it in hand, let's not worry. He'll sort it out. Because our calling is actually to join in with him and help build his kingdom. We need plans and visions to operate. But as we build those things, as we plan mission in our church, as we plan our lives and where we're going, I think what our reading shows us is that we also just need to leave a little bit of space, just a tiny amount of space to be open to God's surprising and energising work, to leave space to remember that there are other things going on, and that sometimes we might recognise the work of God elsewhere in a way that calls us away from our pet projects and our projections and our vision of what could be. We need to be open to that. That's just what going to a different university or a different career path did for me. It made me stop, made me listen and discern just what may be possible. And because of that, I'm here today. Likewise, Paul ends up somewhere he doesn't expect. But he saw the opportunity, he took it, and God worked through that. We need to do that, especially in this time as we approach Thy Kingdom Come. To be listening, to be open to God's work. To be open to the new possibilities there are, things that we cannot imagine or understand until we see it and recognise the goodness that God was there before us. Our reading this morning calls us to be open. To be open ultimately to the God who is a God of surprises and the joy that that may contain. So be open and excited about the future. Be excited about things you can do here in Hayes and the things you can plan for this church, the things you can plan in your life. But always remember, just leave a little space for God to work. And who knows what good and joy may come through that. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.